dear friends, and welcome on this fourth Sunday in Lent. Let's turn to God as we open with a word of prayer. We give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good, and your steadfast love endures forever. Today, you gather us from east and west, from north and south, and we pray that you would bless each one. We thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love, for your wonderful works to all humankind. May we be filled with your Holy Spirit and fed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my friends, our music today is the anthem Old Church Choir by Zach Williams, directed by Jennifer Jones, and so generously shared with us by Trinity Presbyterian Church out in McKinney, Texas. Let's join in welcoming them.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? Oh, it's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can lose it. Choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old, stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea, and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we'd better be doing. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, if you've been feeling just a little off lately, you are definitely not alone. There's no doubt that we're all being challenged, not just physically, but also mentally by this pandemic and in ways that we might never have imagined. So I was actually strangely encouraged by a recent article in the Atlantic Monthly health section that looked at ways that the pandemic is messing with our brains. Apparently, according to Mike Yassa, a neuroscientist at UC Irvine, we're all walking around with some mild cognitive impairment. So that's a relief. So that's why I'm forgetting words and losing my way. And Tina Franklin, a neuroscientist at Georgia Tech, says that living through a pandemic, even for those who are doing so in relative comfort, is exposing people to microdoses of unpredictable stress all the time. That's certainly true too, right? And her research has shown that the stress actually changes the brain regions that control our decision-making, our learning, and our memory. On top of that, data is showing, not surprisingly, that anxiety and depression quadrupled from June 2019 to December 2020. Four times what it normally is, if you can believe that. So yes, the challenges we're facing right now are definitely having a very real impact. One of the hardest things to accept is how little control we feel we have. I mean, we do love feeling in control, don't we? So I was very grateful to stumble on a favorite reminder from beloved author Henry Nouwen, where he writes, "While realizing that 10 years ago, I didn't have the faintest idea that I would end up where I am now, I still like to keep the illusion that I'm in control of my own life. I like to decide what I most need, what I'll do next, what I want to accomplish, and how others will think of me. And while being so busy running my own life, I become oblivious to the gentle movements of the Spirit of God within me, pointing me in directions quite different from my own. It requires a lot of inner solitude and silence to become aware of these divine moments. God does not push, shout, scream. The Spirit of God is soft and gentle, like a small voice or a light breeze. It's the Spirit of love." Wow. Could any of us ever have imagined just over a year ago where we'd be right now, feeling so little control over anything? Let's face it, we've lived our lives based on the assumption that certain things were given. I mean, kids would go to school, folks would go to work, we'd just go where we wanted, when we wanted. And even as we slowly move forward with vaccinations and certain reopenings, we're also seeing that some things may never go back to what we used to consider normal. And this isn't necessarily all bad. The big challenge we have right now is also a huge opportunity. It's a chance, for one thing, to step back and look at ourselves and examine what we really believe. We've been forced to recognize already, for example, that contrary to what we've believed, there is so much we can't control. And at the same time, there are important things that we can control that we may be overlooking. And that includes what we believe. And this raises a question: what beliefs might we have that are actually false or problematic? And this is important to consider, because It's our beliefs that guide and shape all of our actions. As Christians, it's not enough to just simply say we believe in Jesus. We have to go deeper than that. We have to understand, first of all, why we believe and what that really means for us and how we live our lives, how we act, how we show in tangible ways what we believe. Years ago, there was a religion conference where scholars gathered in a debate about what is truly unique about Christianity. And one scholar suggested that what made Christianity different from other religions was the idea that God appeared in human form. Someone pointed out that actually there are other faiths that also believe that God appears in human form. Then someone suggested that it was the resurrection and the belief that death is not the final word. But as someone else pointed out, other religions also have accounts of people returning from the dead. Well, apparently, C.S. Lewis, who was scheduled to do a presentation, showed up a little early and listened in on what became a rather fiery debate. And after a bit during a lull, he asked, "What's all this rumpus about?" And someone said, "Well, we're debating what's unique about Christianity." "That's easy," Lewis said. "It's grace." Well, he went on to point out that Christianity is unique in that it claims God's love comes free of charge, no strings attached. No other religion makes that claim. I mean, Buddhists, for example, they follow this eightfold path to enlightenment. Hindus believe in karma, that your actions continually affect the way the world will treat you, that there is nothing that comes to you that isn't caused by your own actions. And the Jewish code of law implies that God has requirements, and Islam's code of love does the same. Well, at the end of the discussion, everyone concluded that Lewis had a point. Only Christianity dares to proclaim God's love is unconditional, an unconditional love that we call grace. And as our scripture reminds us, we can take no credit for it. It truly is a gift. But there's more. God also created each of us to join him in the work he does. And if we believe, this is work we better be doing. But as E. Stanley Jones warns, it's easy to inoculate the world with this mild form of Christianity so that it will be immune to the real thing. The aim of such inoculation, he says, is security. And not security in Christ, but security from Christ and from having to rely on him and the shape of his kingdom to give meaning and significance to our lives. Now, this is actually more dangerous than we might think, because when we are avoiding being secure in him, in trying to actually sort of find ways to avoid him, all trouble can break loose. William Shire, in his book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, notes that Hitler outlined his belief system quite clearly in his book, Mein Kampf. And he believed that Germans were superior, that all other races, especially Jews, were inferior. He believed it necessary to exterminate Jews. He also believed in the extermination of people who were weak, sick, mentally ill. The list goes on. He believed it necessary for an autocratic leader to determine Germany's future. And of course, he believed that he was to be that leader. He outlined all these beliefs, and less than a decade later, he gained sufficient power to act on those beliefs and began doing so. As Richard Neal Donovan points out, Hitler's belief system and the actions that stem from those beliefs resulted in the deaths of millions of people and the near destruction of Germany. And what's really scary, sadly, many Christians remained silent or even supported him. Our beliefs really are important, because our beliefs shape our actions in really tangible ways. Donovan also notes that when people believe that someone is out to get them, they're likely to take preemptive action to get the other person first. Doesn't matter whether it's true. They act on their perceptions, their beliefs, even if those beliefs have no basis in fact. Well, while these may seem like some extreme examples, the principle also holds true in more normal circumstances, because we'll usually act in accord either with our passions or our beliefs, and it has an impact. Sadly, a sense of feeling powerless and having no control in our lives can also lead to actions that we later regret. What we often don't realize is that our belief in God can offer us an even greater power than our own. And we have more control than we realize, even in the most difficult circumstances. James S. Hewitt shares how years after her concentration camp experiences in Nazi Germany, Corrie Ten Boom met face to face one of the most cruel and heartless German guards that she ever contacted. He humiliated and degraded her and her sister. He jeered, visually raped them as they stood delousing in the shower. And now he stood before her with hand outstretched and said, "Will you forgive me?" She writes, "I stood there with a coldness in my heart, but I know that the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. And so I prayed, Jesus, help me. Woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And I experienced an incredible thing. The current started in my shoulder, it raced down into my arms and sprang into our clutched hands. And then this warm reconciliation seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, my brother, I cried with my whole heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands. The former guard, the former prisoner. And I have never known the love of God so intensely as I did in that moment." Corrie Ten Boom believed, and she chose to do God's work. In the process, she reminds us that to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you. That's not the way the world would have us think, is it? But beliefs do shape how we think and how we act. And they can have a healing impact or a destructive impact. My friends, you may feel very powerless and very alone right now. You may feel you've lost all control. But never, ever forget that, as the scriptures say, it's when we're weak that we're truly strong, because our real strength comes not from us, but from God. And as we believe in God and trust in him, as we generally work to live out that belief, that's where we find our real power. The power to serve, the power to live out God's love, no matter what life throws at us. And that's a power that nothing can take away. Truth be told, like Nouwen, we too have likely been so busy running our own lives that we've also become oblivious to the gentle movements of the Spirit of God within us, as he's tried to point us in directions quite different from our own. Now is the time for us to listen. Now is the time for us to believe and be aware of what it is we really do believe. And now is the time for us to live out God's spirit of love. Let us pray. Gracious God, bring us clarity and light in this dark time. Remind us in our despair that you are our strength and our refuge. And as our daily worries make us anxious and stressed, remind us that in you we find our peace. And when we struggle in our brokenness, remind us that we are your children, fearfully and wonderfully made. Forgive us as we forget and wander astray. Forgive us as we try to direct our own path instead of following yours. Help us to embody a beloved community in a day when justice is a reality for all your people. Inspire us by the spirit of your spirit to help those who've been marginalized and forgotten. Give us ears to hear their cries and hearts that move us to respond. Dearest Lord, we remember the warnings of Jesus against violence, begetting violence. And we pray that you would save us from further acts of violence and division. Save us from mistrust and chaos and wrongdoing. Hear our prayers for peace during this time of change. Grant all of our elected leaders wisdom and patience and courage to work together for the common good and to restore a spirit of partnership among us all. May the coming days be ruled by truth, by goodness, by compassion, and by integrity. O God, our help in times of trouble, we continue to pray for all the world as it struggles with this pandemic and so many other issues. We pray that you would help us all to exercise self-discipline and to do what is needed to protect us all. We pray especially for all those hit hardest by this pandemic in so many ways, and for those in power as they navigate ways to help bring this to an end. We pray all these things and so much more in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may you go in God's love, God's mercy, God's strength, and God's forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless you.